how many is excited about the word of the Lord today? Hey, I like that. You guys sound good. We're excited about the word of the Lord today. We know that we worship Him. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We just engage our spirits in worship. Now we worship Him in truth. As we open up the word of the Lord, allow it to come alive in our hearts. Today we're kicking off the second part of our 3-in-1 series. We've been talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The first part, we talked about God the Son. Now we're going to move into the second part as we begin to talk about God the Holy Spirit. You know, destiny is filled with so many people with so many different kinds of backgrounds. I mean, all of us here come from different backgrounds. Some of you are raised in different church backgrounds, different denominations, different religions. Some of you were not raised in church at all. Some of you are raised in church, but act like you have never been in church at all. It doesn't make a difference. You got all kinds of people that have come to destiny. And we're kind of a melting pot of different cultures coming together. And so today I would say this, that we have a lot of preconceived ideas when we hear the word Holy Spirit. It's just so many things we've heard about the Holy Spirit. And if we're not careful, we allow those preconceived ideas to shape and keep God limited in a box in our mind. And especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we can keep the Holy Spirit locked in a box, setting up barriers to, like, you know, this is the boundaries for the Holy Spirit in my mind, the way I was taught. And what I'm asking you to do during this series is to say, God, I don't want to allow anybody, I don't want to allow any circumstance, I don't want to allow anything, maybe that I was taught from an early age, whatever, I don't want anything to come in and hinder me understanding the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. I promise you, I'm going to do my best not to give you my opinion. I'm going to do my best to translate what the Word of God says to us. How many think that's a great place to start? It's important that we can learn from other people's opinion. We can learn from teachers, and we can learn from people who are teaching us. But the most important teacher is we got to make sure we know what the Holy Spirit is from the Scriptures, what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. I must know that for myself. You must know that for yourself. And I guarantee you, when you understand what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, it will change the way you think about Him. You're like, wow, I didn't even think about that. Wow, I didn't even realize I was limiting what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. So let's take those blinders off. Let's take off the limits, and let's get right into talking about the Holy Spirit. I will tell you, the Holy Spirit has become my best friend. I can tell you, and it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't something where I just, like, all of a sudden me and the Holy Spirit are best friends. But I can tell you, over years of learning to talk, of learning to hear and to walk with the Holy Spirit really has become my best friend. And what I mean by that is that He leads me. He comforts me. He empowers me. He anoints me. He does so many things in my life. And the more I learn to yield to what the Holy Spirit's doing, the closer I get to Him. And I can tell you that, man, it will change the way you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come alive in your life. I will say this to you today as we begin to talk about the introduction. We're going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was the original GPS system. Long before we had these iPhones and had GPSs you were buying and you could buy in your car, the Holy Spirit was the original GPS. And I can tell you, there's times I've used my GPS that I put in the address where I'm trying to go, and I end up somewhere totally different. Anybody ever had this problem? Okay. I put in, most of the time, it's pretty good, but every once in a while, I'll be like, it'll take me out, and it'll try to find somebody's house, and it'll stop out in the middle of a field somewhere, and, like, now walk 2 miles. Like, what? I wanted to drive their house. I was trying to walk their house, and you realize this GPS is all, it doesn't have no idea where I'm really trying to get. And, you know, but this is the great news, is that the Holy Spirit won't mislead you. The Holy Spirit won't fail you. The Holy Spirit is not just right 90% of the time. That the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truths concerning the spiritual things that God has for our life. We just got to be in tune and listen and be ready to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. Jesus had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. So today, as we get into this introduction, I want you to realize we're just going to look and see, I mean, what better person to learn from than firsthand knowledge of the Trinity, Jesus teaching us about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. So let's see what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, In verse 17, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. See, he goes, first of all, he's already told him, the Father has sent me the Son, okay? But now he says, I'm going to pray to him. He's going to send you another helper, that he might abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, he said, this Holy Spirit is going to come. It's going to abide with you forever. Jesus said, I'm only here for a short time. I'm going to ascend back to the Father in heaven, and I'm going to return one day for you. But I'm going to send you somebody who's going to dwell with you forever. It's the Holy Spirit. He calls him the helper. He says it's the Spirit of truth. And we know it's the Holy Spirit because we're going to read in just a second where he identifies the helper as the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth from whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and where? And will be in you. With you and in you. Come on, say with you and in you. The Holy Spirit dwells with me and in me. This is where the Holy Spirit dwells. He's not just dwelling out there in the galaxy far away, you know. No, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me. He is dwelling in me. And look at your neighbor and say, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. He's dwelling in us. He dwells with you, and he said he will be in you if you allow him. This is so cool because we realize God did not leave us alone. God says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to leave you one here. Jesus is preparing him. He's saying, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go, but it's something cool. I'm not going to leave you alone. Look what John 14, 25 through 26 now, the verses as we go up, look what it identifies, these things. Jesus is warning him about the Holy Spirit. He's warning about him leaving. Look what he says. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So we see this happening where the Holy Spirit is our personal tutor. The Holy Spirit is our personal tutor. Don't you love tutors? Any students love when you have free tutors at your college? Anybody, any college students love that? Don't you like that? Yeah. You know, one of the things that we're learning as we do campuses and visits and things for football with my son, and he's going to be on scholarship, is they want to make sure these guys have personal tutors. So all these athletes have personal tutors. Not just, I mean, I hate to break it to you guys, but normal students, they have general tutors. You know, you share a bunch of tutors. But the athletes, they may want to make sure these guys have personal tutors to help them out when they need it. They want to protect them. And it's like, son, I mean, there's no way that you should ever, you know, fail a class. There's no way you should ever do bad when you have access to all these personal tutors around you and help centers. And, man, they really bring it in. It's there. I mean, if you're flunking out, it's because you're not going to get help because it's there. And I love tutors. And I love tutors because it gives you personal attention. You know, it's one thing to get in a classroom with 30 people and try to learn. But some people, like me, sometimes you got to have it broke down. You need some individual one-on-one, and you got to learn and ask questions and say, all right, what do you mean by this? And I understand what you said, but I really don't understand how it applies. And let someone talk you through it and walk you through it and let the light come on. Let someone help you as you walk through that equation. They tell you what you're doing wrong. It's a great thing. Tutors are great. And see, the Holy Spirit becomes our personal tutor. He will teach us. He will guide us in all things about the kingdom for our life. He's our helper. He encourages. He teaches us. He brings wisdom. He brings help when we need it most. That's why you can be hearing a message like today or some other time in the past, and you know what? You can't remember anything. You think, man, okay, 2 weeks from now, you're like, what was that thing that Pastor Dean was talking about? Oh, someone tell me what he was talking about. What's that story? What's that illustration? Or what's that verse? And maybe you don't realize. That's why it's good to take notes so you can go back when you have those questions. But sometimes you get into a conversation, you're like, I wish I had known that scripture. But this is the great thing. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, it's just that he'll bring back to our remembrance. So what will happen is this. The Holy Spirit will tell you, all right, see that coworker? They're really going through something right now. I want you to have lunch with them. I don't like them, God. But I want you to do it anyway. So you do it anyway because you feel like the Holy Spirit really wants you to do it. And you know it's the Holy Spirit because naturally you wouldn't want to do that on your own. And so you do it out of your comfort zone. You get there and you start doing it, and all of a sudden they're telling you about something, and you'll remember things that happened 6 months ago I was reading the scripture, or I was remember this lesson Pastor Gene was talking about, and you'll start talking, and you'll remember a story or an illustration that would hit home where they're at. And is that you? No, you're not that good. I'm not that good. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring back to our remembrance the things we need to know when it's time. And sometimes he's just waiting for us to step out in faith, but he will speak through us. He's our personal tutor. He brings it to our remembrance, is what it says. Look what it says here, John 15:26. It continues to tell us he's our helper. This is the third time we see it, but when the helper comes, are you getting this? Jesus said, when the helper comes, this is the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He comes, for whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from me, from the Father. He will testify of me. It happens so much. Look what 16:7 says. It backs us back up again in verses 16 to 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. Listen, we got an advantage. Don't waste your advantage. I mean, how silly of us to have an advantage. We as Christians have been given an advantage that normal people don't have. It is called the Holy Spirit. And he says, it's to your advantage that I leave. If I leave, it's to your advantage, because when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, up until this time, remember, like I talked about last week, up until this time, only the priests, only the prophets, only the kings could be in the presence of the Lord. Only they could hear from God. Only they could be anointed of God. Now, Jesus is saying, all right, I'm here. I'm God in the flesh coming to give my life for you. I'm here walking here, and you're with me now. But can you imagine if Jesus was still here on earth? I mean, can you imagine social media, Twitter? Hey, 3 o'clock today, Jesus is going to be at this park teaching. You couldn't get there. You couldn't even get close enough to see him. There'd be so many thousands of people by this time. Social media, Twitter, people tweeting out where he's at. We'd have traffic jams everywhere. You couldn't even get to the city he was in because people would be flooding there trying to get there. Jesus says, listen, it's to your advantage if I go, because when I go, I'm going to send somebody who's going to dwell, and I'm going to send you to God who's going to dwell in your heart, every one of you. Now we can all walk with God. Now we can all talk with God. It's to your advantage. He's your helper. He's your helper. Take advantage of what God is doing, what God has given us. We can dwell in the presence of God. We can hear from God. We can walk with God. John 16:12-13, look what it says. Jesus said, I still have many things I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So we see this happening here, that he is our helper. He has come, the Spirit of truth, to guide us, to lead us. See, we see this happening here. This word, the Spirit of truth. We see this word helper used a lot. The word helper also translates to the word comforter. If you read different versions of Scripture, different versions, some translates, instead of the word helper, it says the word comforter. And it's actually the same word that's used in the Greek and Hebrew here. We see where this word is used, and it translates to the word comforter. And I was thinking about that, because how many remember when you first got married and everybody liked to give you things to borrow? Remember that? How many remember when we first got married, you didn't have a lot, you know? Yeah, I remember when we first got married, people gave us, family and friends gave us a lot of stuff to put things together, and someone had given us a comforter, you know, and it was one of those comforters that was so thin that when the light's on, you could see your toes underneath the covers. You know what I mean? There wasn't enough cotton in there to clean your ears. I'm telling you, it was thin. It was thin. It was worn out. And I remember shortly after we were married, my wife said, honey, can I go buy a new comforter? I'm like, yeah. Whatever, honey. Sure, go right ahead. Now, I didn't know I was going to need a second mortgage to pay for this comforter. I didn't realize how expensive comforters really were. And so after we got past that initial shock of how much the comforters really were, I remember she came home, and I was like, well, that's fine. Happy wife, happy life. And so, all right, my wife's happy. She got the new comforter. She's excited about it. She decorates the bed up. Looks nice. I get ready to go to bed at night, and I walk into our room, and there's no comforter. I'm like, where is our comforter? We just spent this much money on a comforter, and you're not even going to put it on the bed? She goes, no, you don't understand. The comforter is not the used, it's just for looks. Come on. You know what? You guys know what I'm talking about here. It's kind of like those little towels that they put up. You can't use those towels. Guests, they can use those towels, but you can't use those towels. You got to get one out of the back of the closet, all raggedy one, but you can't use the good ones, okay? That's for looks. That's for company. Company didn't pay for those towels. I paid for those towels. I want to use those towels. And so, you know, I learned really fast that those nice, expensive comforters were not to use. They're for looks. Take them off, fold them up nice and neat. We'll put them back on in the morning when you get up and make the bed. Any guys feel my pain this morning? Okay. But see, many of us, that's really our idea of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We have it. We own it. But we don't use it. The Holy Spirit's just for looks. It's good in verbiage. It's good to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's good to say, I have the Holy Spirit. But for many of us, we just keep it folded up in a corner somewhere, and we don't apply it to our everyday life. We don't use it every day. We only use it on special occasions, you know. We don't use it like we need to. No, the comforter, the helper, our advocate, the Holy Spirit was meant for us to use every day of our life. He says, it's good that I leave, because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come with us, walk with us, lead us, guide us, teach us, encourage us into all things. See, many people believe this lie. Many people believe the lie that the Holy Spirit is not relevant for today. It doesn't really apply. It was only given out in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. It was only for those day disciples. But the Holy Spirit was not given for you and I, Pastor. That was only for those who were the disciples, only for the martyrs. That was only for those going ahead. No, the Holy Spirit is for us today. And I want you to realize that it is for us today just as much as it was for the disciples. It's for us today. Don't believe that. Satan wants you to believe that lie, that the Holy Spirit is not for you today. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. The Holy Spirit is relevant for our life today. If it wasn't so, Jesus would have told us. And he says, it's good, I leave. So now you're really going to have access to God in a way you never knew. Now you're really going to have access to God and the closeness. You're going to be led. You're going to be empowered. Be convicted. I'm going to bring you through this thing. Now, let me tell you now, how do we use the Holy Spirit? Let me give you some things today to think about as we introduce this. Who is the Holy Spirit? Number one, he is my helper. He is my helper. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Look what John 16, 8 and 9 says. And when he has come, this is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin. And he'll convict the world of righteousness. And he will convict the world of the judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Now, it's just pretty cool because we see what it says here. Do you realize this? That even before you were Christians, even before you became a Christ follower, that the Holy Spirit was speaking to you? The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you a long time. It's the Holy Spirit who tells us, you know what? You need to give your life to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who tells you, you know what? You're a sinner. You need to repent and accept God's forgiveness. That's the Holy Spirit that does that in our life. So this is the statement I want to say to you about that is this. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to us before we're Christians, how much more does he want to speak to us after we're Christians? After we've accepted Christ, how much more does he want to speak to us? How much more does he want to say to us? How much more does he want to lead us into? Man, he wants to lead you every step along the way of your life. He's just not limited to that. And what I think is really cool is we see this. He convicts us of our sin. He convicts us we need to know Jesus and we accept him. He convicts us of our righteousness. Now, this word convicts, though, what I want you to get, listen to this. This is really cool. This word convict is really not the same way we think about it. When we think of the word convict, we're thinking of feeling guilty, right? They make me feel guilty about this. I'm feeling guilty about that. This is not the way this actually translates out. When you go back and study the original translation of this word convict is really the same word that we would use for convince. Okay? So it's really the same word we use for convince. So keep that in mind as we read through it again. The Holy Spirit will convince the world of its sin. See, the Holy Spirit convinced me that I need to give my life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convinced me that I need to learn to surrender my life and accept the grace of the cross. That's the Holy Spirit. It convinced me of that. I do that. And then once I do that, then the Holy Spirit then will convince me of my righteousness. Some of you struggle with thinking, am I in right standing with God? Does God really value me? Does God really see me as one of his children? I was pretty bad, Pastor. I don't know. You see, this is why when you spend time with the Holy Spirit will continue to convince you, to reaffirm in you how much God really loves you, how much God is really, really loves you and has made you in right standing. He convinces you because of the power of the cross that Jesus took the weight of the sin upon the cross. And once I accept what Jesus did on the cross, that I am now made in right standing with God. And the Holy Spirit's job is to convince me of that, continue it. And I need that more than once in my life. Sometimes we're going to have bad weeks. Sometimes we're going to have mistakes. And the Holy Spirit comes in and reminds you, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a king's kid. It's okay. God loves you. He doesn't devalue you. And so the Holy Spirit, the more I yield to the Holy Spirit, the more he'll convince me I'm a sinner. Once I give my life to Jesus, then he convinces me of my right standing with God, my righteousness. And then he convinces me of the judgment of sin. And keeping that in mind, that he convinces of the judgment of sin, let's look what verse 11 says in 16 about this judgment. He convinces me of the judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? Satan. Remember we talked about last week that Jesus is the king of all kings. But Satan was just called the prince. He was called the prince of this world. But Jesus was called the king of kings and the lord of lords. And so this is what he's saying. He's saying the Holy Spirit convinces me that the prince of this world, Satan, he's already been judged. And look what the next verse says in John 12:31. Now this judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. See, it's telling me he's been judged. He's going to be cast out. Look what verse 30 says in chapter 14 of John. Jesus said, I will not say much to you, for the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold over me. You see, what Jesus was telling us is this. The Holy Spirit convinces me, and it reminds me, convinces me that, you know what? The prince of this world is still here, but he's already been judged. What is his judgment? That he will be cast out. He will be sent to a lake of fire, a place of hell. If you don't think hell is real, it's very real. But hell was never created for you and I. It was created for Satan and his demonic followers. And we have a choice. We can choose to follow Jesus or we can choose to follow the prince of this world. And so he says, as I choose to follow Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit who convinces me and reminds me, you know what? Satan, he's trying to attack you. Satan may be trying to discourage you, but listen, it's okay because he's already been judged. And your father, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one you gave your life to, he has no hold over him. And if he has no hold over him, he has no hold over you. Isn't that cool? The Holy Spirit tells me that, convinces me that. And so if he's got control of my life, it's only because I've given him that control. I've been given the spiritual authority to walk away from that. See, the Holy Spirit reminds me of these things. It's important. Do you understand why it's important that we walk in the Holy Spirit? Because these are things we battle with all the time. Our mind always tells us we're not good enough. Our minds always tells us, you know, God doesn't really love you. Our minds always tells us, you know, these things. Well, Satan, man, he's attacking me. I don't know if I can win. See, those are minds. Your mind will tell you these things. Satan attacks you in your mind. But the Holy Spirit, the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll battle those things. No. Don't believe that lie. That's a lie. You remember what Pastor Gene taught you. You remember what Scripture says, that there is no power for the prince of this world. He's already been cast out. He's already been judged. Simply put, guys, we know the end of the story. We don't have to wait till the end of the movie. We know the end of the story, and we win. That's a cool thing, yeah. So the Holy Spirit reminds me of this. So I'm convinced I need a Savior. I'm convinced I've been made in right standing with God, and then he convinces me that Satan has no power in my life unless I let him. See, it's the Holy Spirit's job to change us. He convinces me of my sin. He changes us. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change us. Let me say it again. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change us. Whose job is it to change us? So if I'm not yielding to the Holy Spirit, I'm not changing. Let me put it another way. I know people who think it's their job to change people. It's not their job to change people. We can learn from people. We can be instructed with elders and wisdom. But if I remember right, Jesus said, I've called you to be fishers of men, right? He's called us to be fishers of men and let the Holy Spirit clean the fish. But the problem is we have some people I know that like to clean the fish before they bring them to church. We try to clean people up and get them into the kingdom of God. No, it's not my job to clean them up. My job is to get them in. I got to fish. And so every day I should be fishing. Every day I should be sharing God's love. I should be inviting people. I should be fishing. My job is to fish. As I bring them into the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will convict. The Holy Spirit will convince them they need to change. I can't tell you how many people have come up and said, I need to stop doing this. I need to change this in my life. And I never once told them that. Probably didn't even teach on that at the time of their life. But it was the Holy Spirit. How do they know that? The Holy Spirit spoke to them. Pastor, I need changes about my life. I need changes, and I'm taking changes. How did that happen? They were in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes them. That's why as we come in, we increase the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I'm going to bring the Holy Spirit with me on Sundays. I got to let the Holy Spirit increase. I want to see the presence of God increase. Why? Because people need to change, and He changes them. Quit trying to change people, and more importantly, quit trying to change yourself. Just come to the Lord right now as you are and let the Holy Spirit change you. You'll never be good enough on your own. I'm never good enough on my own. We got to come. The Holy Spirit will change us. I'm telling you, He will convince us as we allow ourselves to be led by Him. Number two, the Holy Spirit is my friend. He really is. But He's not weird, okay? The Holy Spirit is my friend, and He's not weird. Some of you need to get this because this is where you get a hung up right here. Because some of you, you hear the word Holy Spirit, you automatically think of weird. Let me just tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He's my friend, and He's not weird. Let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. Let's just say that. There's some weird people. Let's be honest. We're in this room, we got some weird people in this room. I'm weird. You're weird. People are weird, right? People are weird, but the Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit will ask you at times to do things out of your comfort zone. He will ask you to do things out of your comfort zone. So I'm not telling you the Holy Spirit won't push you to do things. I don't always like to do things that He asks me to do. And sometimes if I've never done it before, God's like, hey, I want you to tell that lady in front of you, the line there, that I want you to tell her I love her today. I want you to tell that God loves her. I want you to buy that person behind you. I want you to go ahead and buy their meal. I want you to buy their groceries. See that person over there? I want you to go over there and ask them, is there anything you can pray with them about today? You just feel led like God wants you to know that He loves them today. I don't like always doing those things, but when I'm led by the Spirit, sometimes He asks me to get out of my comfort zone. Isn't it kind of ironic that the comforter would ask me to get out of my comfort zone? But sometimes He does that. Sometimes He does that. But He's not weird, okay? He's not weird. People are weird. I've seen people who use the Holy Spirit and they think they're trying out for a spot on America's Got Talent or something. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, all right, pick a number between 1 and 10. Tell me right now. 3. Oh, yeah, 3. 3. God told me a while ago you were going to pick 3. And it's the symbol of the Trinity. And on the third day of the third month of the 33rd year, God's got something in store for you. You can't wait. The 2033 right now. You're like, bingo. Hey, yeah. Like, we're going to be like, yeah, you won. Come back next week. Do it again. No, I'm just saying that, you know, people are weird sometimes. It's not God. God's not weird. He's not weird. And he does things in an order, in a fashion to it. Sometimes we don't always understand it. And sometimes it really stretches our faith. But don't allow weird people to destroy something that God wants you to understand. And that's what happens. Some people have just, out of ignorance or misled growing up about the Holy Spirit being more of an emotional thing, and they get their emotions tied to it, and they get out there sometimes. And I know it's out there, okay? But it's for everything, okay? There's weird cashiers, but there's some great cashiers. There's weird car salesmen. There's some great car salesmen in this church, right? There's weird business leaders. There's great business leaders in this church as well. What I'm saying is this, weird people are out there, and don't allow somebody who doesn't have an understanding, a correct understanding about the spiritual things of God, to ruin it for you, okay? Because God is wanting you to experience the fullness of who He is in every area of your life. I'm telling you, this is so cool. See, let me give you some benefits of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. See, when you allow the Holy Spirit to be operating in your life, He'll give you the power to be His witness. The power to be His witness. You'll find yourself His witness in ways you could never do before. You're going to find yourself telling about the goodness of God, how God has changed your life. Shy people, tell somebody. Why? Because God has empowered me to be His witness. He gives me the power to love people. The Holy Spirit gives me power to love people. How many know some people are really hard to love, right? Come on, let's be honest. Some people are just really, really hard to love. But Jesus said, I want you to learn to love your neighbor as yourself. So how do I do that with difficult people? You can't do it on your own. But the power of the Holy Spirit will allow you to love people who don't deserve it. I can tell you, there's been times of people out, there's people I thought, if I see them, I want to wring their neck, you know, and then you get in their presence, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just allows me to just love them. Hey, how you doing? Instead of wringing their neck, I give them a hug. How you doing? Hey, man, I love you. I'm thinking, how did I just say that? It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit empowers me to love. It empowers me to be His witness. The Holy Spirit, when you allow it to come alive in your life, it'll produce fruit in your life. It produces fruit of the Spirit. The Bible talks about this fruit of the Spirit. It comes alive in your life. When you have the Holy Spirit operate in your life, you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. When you allow the Holy Spirit to be alive in your life, it'll produce also the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit in my life. And we'll talk more about the gifts of the Spirit later on throughout the different messages we speak on. But when you have the Holy Spirit alive in your life, and then He's using you, and He'll allow spiritual gifts to come out of you that you didn't even know you had. You'll have things come out of you. You'll be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden you'll be like, hey, man, hey, it's making sense to you. I feel like God wants you to know this. You talk to them, and they're like, oh, how'd you know that? I didn't know. It's called discernment. It's called spiritual gifts. God gives it to you, and all of a sudden you're helping somebody out. And you didn't even know. It's just the Holy Spirit. It's really cool when the gifts of the Spirit are operating in your life. I can tell you, it's a great thing. When the fruit's coming out of your life, it's a great thing. So you got to have the Holy Spirit alive in your life. So don't let weird people ruin it for you, because that's what Satan wants. Satan wants weird people to ruin the gifts for you so that you're afraid of it or you dismiss it and close your mind to it. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, one of the things that Satan has done is he got the church divided on the gift of speaking in tongues. There's a gift of speaking in tongues. One of the spiritual gifts is the gift of the unknown tongue, and the Bible talks about that. I'm going to spend one whole message really teaching you what the Bible says about that. Why? What is that? What does it mean? Is it for everyone? Is it not for everyone? If you do have it, what is its purpose? We're going to go through that. I promise you, it'll be taught in a way that you can understand, and it's not going to be forced on anybody or anything like that. Don't worry about that, but we're going to just open up the Word of the Lord and study the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But what has happened is we take that one gift that's been abused by somebody and different people, and Satan gets us a fear about it, and so we close up everything about the Holy Spirit, and we put all of our fear based on one thing, that one thing. And Satan's sitting back laughing, going, yeah, that's what I wanted to happen. Because as long as you are in fear of it, or as long as you say in your mind it's not for me or relevant for me, then you're not walking in that power of the Holy Spirit. And Satan's ultimately saying, well, you know, I'm getting what I want. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to walk without that power. He wants you to walk without discernment. He wants you to walk without spiritual fruit. He wants you to walk without spiritual gifts. He wants you to walk not convinced of who you are in God. He wants you to walk that way. And so if he can take away the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're walking around on empty. Okay? And so one of the things he does, he's divided the church over this gift of speaking in tongues, the spiritual language. What is it? People talking, all don't believe in it, man. Stay away from that, man. It's of God today. All these things are taught out there, people saying things. And it's just Satan using that to divide us. I can tell you this, we're not going to do anything but just open up Scripture, look at it, and see what the Word of God says. And if it resonates in your heart, you're going to receive of it. If not, then you can just pray about it, and God will move on you when it's time for your life, okay? But I'm just going to open it up. That's not a good thing. How many want to know about the Holy Spirit? You want to know about the Holy Spirit and everything? Okay. I know many of you have questions, and some of you have heard these terms before. And what is it? We're going to get really into it during this series. The last thing I want to tell you is this. He's my God. The Holy Spirit is my God. The Holy Spirit is my God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We just read this verse a while ago. Let's go back to it, 14:26 of John. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, our Heavenly Father, will send in my name. Who's talking? Jesus. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to come from my Father, who sent it in my name. You see all three alive in the same sentence, in the same paragraph. What's happening here? Jesus is identifying three separate parts of the Godhead. And it's not the only time we see it repeatedly through Scripture. We see all three alive together in one. Luke 3:22 says the same thing. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And the voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We have the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. Who's speaking? The Father is speaking. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One more verse, Matthew 28:19. It says that when we go into all the world. We make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing? All three are one. All three are working together in harmony. All three are part of the Trinity. All three are part of the Godhead. They have separate roles, separate functions, but all three are in one. And the reason why that's important is this. If you ever hear anybody tell you, man, you be careful of people, or you be careful of churches who talk about the Holy Spirit. What they're really saying is this. You be careful of people who talk about God. You be careful of people who are teaching you about God. Because you can't have one without the other. We can't say, all right, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to receive the Father or the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in those. It's not possible. They're all three there in function. Either they're all three real and have purpose and function in our life, or all three are a lie. But we can't separate it. Are you following me? So don't allow someone to come to you and steal from you and say, you know what? Man, the Holy Spirit, that's not for you. Be careful of people who talk about that. That's kind of weird, man. Stay away from that. See, Jesus said the world's not going to get it. They're not going to understand it. It's okay. They don't understand it. But you will, because I'm sending my Spirit to be alive in you. It's seen as I speak to you, even today, many of you, your insides are kind of jumping around. Like, wow, yeah, that's my heart's beating in my chest, Pastor. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit alive in you. It's resonating with this word today. It's resonating in your heart today. Every time I do this series on the Holy Spirit or talk about the Holy Spirit, I have people all the time to tell me this one thing. They'll come to me and say, Pastor, I knew there was more. I knew there was more. There's people who wasn't teaching me this. I never heard this before. I was raised in church in my life and never heard about the Holy Spirit. I was gypped. Thank you for opening up the Word and teaching about the Holy Spirit. This is changing my life. Every time we do a series on the Holy Spirit, it changes people's lives because people are opening up for the first time and realizing, yes, the Holy Spirit is for my life. It's relevant for my life today. He's a part of my God. So this is what I want you to do as you stand this morning. As you stand this morning, I want you to simply say this. Say, Pastor, during this series, I am going to take away every fear of the Holy Spirit I've ever had in my mind. I want to take off every limits about the Holy Spirit I've ever had in my mind. I want to take out all these barriers that I've placed around my mind and thinking and receiving about the Holy Spirit. If that's you today, can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I'm going to do that. You're speaking right to me. Anybody here want to raise your hands to me? I'm ready for a fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit in my life. See, yeah, it's going to change us. It's going to change us. This is going to happen. It's going to change your life. Let's lift our hands to the Father. Father, we love you today. We thank you. You didn't send us alone, God. You didn't leave us alone, but you sent the Advocate, our Helper, our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will lead us. He will guide us. He'll convince us of how much you really love us. I pray today, Father, as we say yes, Lord, we take away any fears, any misconceptions, any barriers that we've allowed our minds to hold us back. And I pray that, God, that your relationship with the Holy Spirit be revealed to people fresh and anew in their mind today. I come against any fear, any negative word ever said in their mind that made them fearful of the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that, Father, you begin something new and fresh in their mind today. God, show us your glory. We want to see you. Come on. Let's close with this chorus. Let's make it personal today.
Help us sing it. Here we go. Because we want to see you. Show us your glory. We want to know you more. If that's your prayer, help us sing it. We want to see you. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let your Holy Spirit rain, God.
Oh, open the
lift your hands. I want to pray for you one more time. Father, I thank you that, God, you are taking those things out of our life that we've raised up. Lord, whether it's just limiting you, Lord, based off a past experience, I pray that during this series, that God, even the person who knows about you greatly, would see you fresh and anew. For the person who's been fearful, God, that fear is falling off. And God, you're going to allow them to experience the Holy Spirit on a whole new level in their life. God, I thank you because, God, you're going to empower us. God, we're going to walk in a new dimension of the Holy Spirit. We're going to walk in a new dimension of our relationship with you, God, as we understand, as we comprehend how important the Holy Spirit is for our life. It's going to empower us to be your witness. It's going to empower us, God, to love people. It's going to empower us, God, to be producing fruit in our life, spiritual fruit, and it's going to bring forth spiritual gifts in our life as well. We say yes. Yes to the things of God. Yes to the things of God. God, we say yes to your things, God. Everything you have for us is what we want. In Jesus' name we pray. If you believe that and receive that, come on, you got a hand clap of amen this morning. Thank you guys so much. You were so attentive, and I know that you're hungry to learn. We're going to grow every week, okay? Make it a point. So I'm not going to miss, man. I want to come back, get every one of these lessons, okay? God bless you. We love you. If you're a teen, don't forget to go back and get your T-shirts, sign up for the back of the youth area. God bless you.